Hi, I'm Norm Shealy.
NormShealy.com.
You are listening to Infinite Consciousness, your infinite access to the world
of the mind.
Hi, this is Eva Herr, and thanks for listening tonight. Tonight I will have with us Dr. Stephen Sinatra, and we're going to talk about his new book that he co-wrote with Clinton Ober, Martin Zucker, and with my wonderful friend Jim Ushman, who wrote the foreword. But I also want you to know that Dr. Sinatra does many other things. He does fabulous work in cardiovascular disease. So before we get started, Dr. Sinatra, and I want to thank you for being with us. Please let people know where they can find you and find your books, because I know you have a new book out on statins. And just tell them a little bit about yourself and where they can find you.
Sure. Yeah, I mean, they can find me at heartmdinstitute.com. That's my informational website, where I have a lot of streaming video about, you know, issues of earthing and cholesterol and metabolic cardiology and cooking. I have great cooking videos. So heartmdinstitute.com is the best place. And my recent book you mentioned was A Great Cholesterol Myth. That just came out several weeks ago. And that's about the oversimplification of cholesterol as being the main cause of heart disease, which it isn't. We chose the wrong marker. I mean, cholesterol is found at the scene of the crime, but it's not the perpetrator. There's many other factors that can cause heart disease, including, toxic EMF and RF, which we'll talk about tonight. And then something about my background.
You're a holistic cardiologist that does that work.
My work is basically is, I did 5 years of postgraduate training at the medical school, became a board certified internist, and then did 2 years of cardiovascular specialized training and got certified in cardiology. Then I was really involved with stress in the heart. I was seeing a lot of stress in people who had heart attacks, particularly young men and women in their 30s and 40s. It was around the time of the Vietnam War was winding down in the early 70s. And because I realized that cardiology was so spectacular from the neck up, that I needed to do a training in advanced psychotherapy. So I did 10 years of training in bioenergetic analysis and became a psychotherapist. During that time, I realized that nutrition plays a huge role in health. And I took the examination given by the American College of Nutrition back in the year 2000 and became certified as a nutrition specialist. And then I got involved on an anti-aging course and got certified as a anti-aging physician by the Academy for Anti-Aging Medicine. So my path has really been conventional and holistic cardiology ever since 1978 when I got my boards in cardiology. And I complemented that with training in psychotherapy, nutrition, and anti-aging medicine. And I'm still growing. I'm still learning. I mean, you know, one of the greatest things about being a doctor is the humility is really slaps you in the face, and you're always learning. And I guess the worst thing is you probably get it in your 70s, 80s, and 90s, and then you're ready to cross over. So it's been a great journey. I'll tell you that it's been a great journey.
Well. Let's get into your earthing book. I found it to be a most fascinating book. And Jim Ushman is one of my friends. He actually sent it to me and said, Eva, you got to have this guy on your show. So I guess I want to start out is a lot of this is about electrons. What is an electron and how does this, what is the role that it plays in the human body?
Well, electrons important, especially electron donors, like it could be anywhere from zinc to coenzyme Q10. But basically, an electron donor is important because a lot of free radicals in the body, and a free radical basically is when the antioxidant defenses of the body cannot keep up with toxins in the environment, whether it, and the toxins could be anything. It could be something as simple as cigarette smoke or trans fats. It could be mercury. It could be insecticides or pesticides. It could be sugar. Sugar is a very potent toxin. Statins, by the way, are mitochondrial toxins.
Say that again. About sugar. What'd you say?
Yeah, sugar is a potent toxin. So any of these toxins basically can age you quickly, and they put out what we call, they cause oxidative stress. And because these toxins overwhelm the antioxidant defensive systems of the body, and if the body is in a period of stress or oxidative stress, we need to neutralize it. And one of the best ways of neutralizing it is using antioxidants, which convey negative charges. Another great way to reduce excessive positive charge in the body or oxidative stress is the use of earthing when you put your bare feet on the ground. And the reason why earthing really works is that the earth is struck by lightning maybe 1,000 times a minute, especially around the equator. Now, I'm doing this show right now from Tampa, Florida, and we have, you know, a huge amount of lightning strikes, you know, during our thunderstorms here. So when lightning strikes the earth, it conveys an enormous electric charge to the earth, and the earth becomes endowed with, you know, billions and billions of electrons. And when you walk on the earth, you can assimilate these electrons through the acupuncture point of the feet, and these electrons can enter the body. And the reason why they're so important is because as free electrons, they can tie up free radicals. And basically, when you do that, you're attenuating the inflammation in your body, and you're putting out the fires of inflammation. So earthing, whether you're walking on, let's say, on grass or on concrete or brick, asphalt doesn't really do it because it's man-made, but concrete is good. And sand, a beach on a sand is really the best place if you're walking down by the ocean. And I try to do that, you know, 3 to 4 times a week when I'm in Florida, where I just walk the beach and I get the not only the sand under my feet, but the surf, which, you know, contains a lot of minerals. And when you walk in that surf or in that wet sand, the enormous amount of electrons you assimilate in the body can really help to optimize the health of the body. So that's why grounding is important, because of the conveyance of electrons, which, again, will neutralize the oxidation in the body.
In this book, you talk about the biological clock of the body getting recalibrated. How does that happen? What is the importance of that, and what does it mean, actually?
Well, you know, the body has, like, its normal biorhythms. We call it homeostasis of the internal clock. And what happens is that when we go to bed at night, our hormones tend to go down, and then they start to creep up. And one of the hormones is cortisol, which is the vigilance hormone. It's the hormone of stress. And adrenaline and noradrenaline are also the stress hormones. But at night, they tend to go down normally in the body, and then they reawaken around 5 a.m. or 6 a.m. And we call these the biorhythms. Now, it's no coincidence that heart attacks, most heart attacks occur at 5, 6, 7, 8 o'clock in the morning, when these biorhythms are most vulnerable to excessive stress and tension, you know, threat, anxiety, anger, things like that. So in the early a.m. hours, you know, cardiovascular events tend to occur more often because the body is vulnerable during these situations where we have high cortisol output and, you know, high stress hormone output. So one of the things that grounding does, which is really interesting, it helps to balance the biorhythms of the body. And that's why people sleep better, because when people sleep grounded or use a grounding sheet or a pad or even sleep on the earth, I mean, you know, when people go camping and they take a pad away and they just sleep on the earth, what you're doing here is you're developing a more homeostasis of the body, where your biorhythms become more in sync with the body, and cortisol levels become more synchronous with the biorhythms, and people sleep better. This was done in a few studies, and they're actually articulated in the book Earthing. And these biorhythms with the sleep patterns, which are helped with earthing pads or mattresses or, you know, earthing sheets, to occur more in women as opposed to men, because the biorhythms with earthing seem to be more compatible with a woman's metabolism as opposed to a man. But men sleep better as well, but women sleep even better when they're sleeping grounded.
So can this have something to do with something such as dysautonomia?
Now, dysautonomia is a problem where it's a major problem in the country today, by the way. You know, there's cellular phone towers everywhere. And a lot of people, worse yet, they have cordless phones in their house. Now, one of the worst things you can have in your home is a cordless phone, because cordless phones put out radiation 24/7, especially near the base. And the radiation travels for several meters in the house, so it travels throughout the house. And one of the reasons why Americans can't sleep, actually the whole world can't sleep right now, is because there is so much electromagnetic forces that lower melatonin levels in the brain. And this is getting to be at epidemic proportions. It's not only the cell phone towers and the cordless phones in the house. I mean, you know, people sleep with their cellular phones close to the bed. Teenagers sleep with cellular phones under their pillow and they leave them on. A lot of our homes have Wi-Fi in it, and Wi-Fi is a definite coronary risk factor because it disrupts what we call heart rate variability. So if the house is full of Wi-Fi and you have a cordless phone in the house and you're using cellular phones and you have microwave ovens and you have Bluetooth monitors or even remote baby monitors, all these things, and smart meters too. I mean, a lot of apartments right now have smart meters where, you know, the signals are being transmitted in a wireless fashion. These impulses enter the body. And when they do, they lower melatonin in the brain. They also lower coenzyme Q10, by the way. Coenzyme Q10 is one of the first antioxidants that is sacrificed in the body, protecting it from these chaotic, non-harmonious waves that enter the body. And when this happens, you know, people get what we call an autonomic discharge of the sympathetic nervous system. And we call it heightened sympathetic tone, or dysautonomia, like you mentioned. And the major symptoms that these people have are headache, lightheadedness, dizziness, fatigue, weakness, heart palpitations. And it's very common, very, very common. I saw a lot of us practicing cardiology on a day-to-day basis. I didn't recognize cordless phone and EMF, 10 years ago. But when my son became very ill, I started to recognize it quickly. And I started to ask more questions about, you know, EMF in the house and, proximity to cellular phone towers, et cetera. But it's a definite problem, and it's the major problem that I think is going to cause illness and really, you know, shorten lifespan in our civilization.
Have you ever heard of gut feelings?
Of who?
Gut feelings.
Gut feelings?
Yes.
Like G-U-T?
What you're telling me right now is resonating so much in my body that I'm literally getting nauseous. It's just literally, because I'm sitting here thinking, my husband is a network engineer. Our house is full of very, you know, fancy network internet stuff. We've got 4 cordless phones. We've all got, my children fortunately don't have a cell phone, but my husband and I do, and I'm literally getting nauseous hearing about this. It's so true.
Well, you know, you're having a body reaction, which, I mean, just remember this. If you have a body reaction to what anybody's saying, it's the truth, because the body doesn't lie.
Yep.
The body never lies. You know, from the neck up lies all the time. No, if you have cordless phones in your house, I would tell you to throw them out, get them out. I mean, if there's nothing that anybody learns on your radio show tonight, I would say that's the most important thing.
I'm going to listen. Because I can't sleep. I just had a massive heart attack, and it all happened, now that I think about it, when we did all these things. Anyway, could we please talk about...
Well, by the way, you're not alone, because I hear this every single day. I have people call me up and say, I developed atrial fibrillation. My first question is, you know, when did you get a... Are you using cordless phones? Are you using Wi-Fi? Are you doing this and that? And the answer is yes. I even had a board-certified cardiologist call me up. He and his wife both developed atrial fibrillation when they moved into a apartment flat that had smart meters attached right close to their bedroom. So, no, you're not alone. It's just that people, they don't understand it. And the problem is that the medical profession is so detached from it that then they're not asking the right questions, and people are going undiagnosed, and they're getting serious illnesses.
Can grounding affect the elasticity of arteries and also blood viscosity?
Well, what grounding will do is, I don't know if it'll affect the elasticity of the artery. I never did any research in that. But I will tell you this. I did research on heart rate variability, which we can discuss subsequently. But the blood viscosity, the thinning of the blood, is very crucial, very, very crucial. One of the reasons why people get heart attacks and strokes is that their blood becomes like red ketchup. And when your blood becomes like red ketchup, as opposed to red wine, then you're vulnerable for a clot. And if it occurs in the heart, it's a heart attack. If it occurs in the brain, it's a stroke. And the reason why I say this is that thickened blood or red ketchup blood is really a culmination of all the cardiovascular risk factors. And the major things that will thicken your blood are things like EMF, things like electromagnetic forces, and RF. So cordless phone, cellular phone will thicken the blood. Certainly diabetes with high blood sugar, very high blood sugars will thicken the blood. Cigarette smoking will thicken the blood. Mercury in the environment will thicken the blood. All surges of insulin from a high sugar diet will thicken the blood. So there's so many things that can cause blood thickness, and when you do that, you're creating an inflammatory state because the blood is sludgy. It's like sludge in the body, and when you have less oxygenation, you are more prone to inflammation. And diabetes is a perfect example of that. So the research that I did on blood viscosity was amazing, I have to tell you. I mean, it all happened by accident. It was incredible. I had 13 people in my office in Connecticut, and I had people from all walks of life. I had a physicist there. I had a very famous dermatologist. I had nurses. I had attorneys. Clint Ober was there. Another cardiologist was there. Artists were there, so it was sort of a potpourri of people, and actually it was my wife's office, and it's close to the house, and we were doing blood viscosity measurements on people. We're actually doing dark field examinations where we're looking at a drop of blood under the microscope in each individual person. Now, unbeknownst to me, I didn't realize it, but my wife had a cordless phone in her office after we had gotten rid of all the cordless phones in our home, as well as my medical office. But there was one cordless phone that was buried behind like a sofa. It wasn't even being used, but it was forgotten. And when we drew the blood of everybody in my office, everybody, 12 out of 13, had red ketchup blood. And I'm saying to myself, and myself included, and I said, how can this be? How can this be? You know, I take omega-3 essential fatty acids every day. I take coenzyme Q10. I take vitamin C. I even take natokinase, which thins the blood. And I sleep grounded. How could it be? The only person that had thin blood was Clint Ober. And what Clinton was doing that day when we were in the office is that he believes in his grounding so much. If you ever spend a day with Clint, you'll see this. But what he does is every 20 to 30 minutes, he gets out of his chair, and he walks outside barefoot, and he grounds himself. And he does that for 5 or 10 minutes, then he comes back in. So he was going out of that toxic field that the whole group was in, and when he went outside, grounded himself, he was attenuating the oxidative stress from the EMF, from the cordless phone, and he was the only one with thin blood. So when I saw that, I said to myself, oh my gosh, this was the greatest discovery I've ever made, and it was only by accident. And then I asked Clint if we could do a study to see that if grounding a person for like 2 hours in a laboratory setting could thin the blood. And the answer was yes. We did that study, a pilot study of, I think we had like 18 people. We published that study, but I had a very difficult time getting that published, that study published. I thought that was the greatest discovery I've ever made in my lifetime. I sent that article to the American Journal of Cardiology. It was turned down. It was turned down at Circulation. It was turned down at the International Journal of Cardiology. It was turned down by Blood. And I called Olle Johansson in Sweden at the Kraepelin Institute, because I sent him the paper and I asked him for his comments, and he was laughing and laughing. I go, what are you laughing about? This is, I can't believe it. I can't get this paper published. And he says, you're going to be dead and buried before that paper gets published. Because, and you said, and he said to me, you'll probably win the Nobel Prize for your discovery, but you'll be long gone. And he was laughing and laughing. He thought it was a great discovery. But again, you know, when you come up with these unbelievable, amazing situations that can help a lot of people, nobody believes it. And nobody believes the research.
You know, Big Pharma.
So now we're doing a larger study on it right now in Arizona.
You know, Big Pharma is not going to allow anything. Look at Nick Gonzalez, what they did to him. So,
oh, yeah. And grounding is so simple. It's so natural. But when it's in the blood, I have to tell you, that is the holy grail of cardiology.
So how long does it take if I wanted to this, or one of my listeners wanted to thin our blood? How long would it take?
Well, if you sleep grounded, your blood gets thin. I'll tell you that, because we had a lot of people on Coumadin. You know what Coumadin is, right?
Mm-hmm.
It's a blood thinner.
Mm-hmm.
And right now, Coumadin is an absolute or a relative contraindication to grounding, because any person on Coumadin, they were getting their blood even more thin on Coumadin. So we had to adjust the doses of Coumadin. And a lot of people were using like, you know, one-third to one-half their Coumadin dosage while they were being grounded. But to answer your question, it takes 2 hours of, you know, walking on the earth to thin your blood. And if you sleep grounded, you know, for, you know, 5, 6, 7 hours, this will thin your blood as well. Now, I never did that research on people sleeping grounded. I would like to do that. I mean, that would be an interesting research project, to give people grounding sheets and then have them come in the morning and have blood drawn to see if the blood viscosity is improved. I would suspect it will, because in the laboratory setting, we showed after 2 hours of grounding to the earth and drawing the blood immediately afterwards, the blood was thin. It was like red wine.
Now, I know there's a way to do this in your bed. You can buy grounding sheets, I understand, but there's also, is there a way that people can do it at home that don't have the money to go and buy sheets?
Yeah, the sheets aren't that expensive. I mean, you can get a half sheet. I think they're like $100. If people can't afford that, they can probably get a grounding pad for like, I think they cost $30 or $40. And if they can't afford that, I would just tell them to walk barefoot as much as they could outside. But you got to be smart. I mean, you don't want to walk barefoot in a tick-infested area with Lyme tick, for example, you know, in tall grass, above your ankles. You want to be smart about walking. I mean, I think walking the beach is great. Walking on, short grass is fine. Concrete is perfectly okay. Brick is okay. People in their homes can touch the plumbing around their sinks, which is grounding. and they can touch that. You know, if you're living in Maine in the middle of winter and you want to ground, you can maybe go in your basement if you do have a concrete floor and put your bare feet on the floor or touch the fireplace, the stone fireplace. That'll ground you. I mean, there's so many different ways you can ground, but the body needs to do it, you know, for at least, you know, a couple hours during the day.
A couple of hours at a time, or can you spread it out?
Well, the way I do grounding is the way I do metabolic cardiology. The sicker the patient, the more coenzyme Q10 I would use, for example, or the greater the heart disease, the more coenzyme Q10. It's the same thing with grounding. And it doesn't make a difference what illness you have. Let's say you have advanced heart failure. I would like to ground you for more than 12 hours a day. High blood pressure, more than 12 hours a day. Severe arthritis or Lyme disease, more than 12 hours a day. Migraine headache, you could probably do it less. Multiple sclerosis, maybe 8 hours a day.
What about mood disorders, bipolar, panic attacks, anxiety, things like that?
Those are good. Those are good for grounding. Because remember, when you have anxiety disorder, what you're doing is your sympathetic nervous system is unbalanced. And one of the greatest things that grounding does is it balances the autonomic nervous system. Now, that's getting into my specialty as well, heart rate variability, where when you do ground, you will attenuate what we call the sympathetic nervous system and improve the parasympathetic component of that nervous system, where you get more of a balance in the body. And when the body becomes more balanced through grounding, anxiety attenuates. I mean, that's why people, again, that's why people sleep better. People become calmer when they ground to the earth. You ever speak to anybody, Eva, who's been on a vacation on the beach for a week? They're so mellowed out. You know, they think it's the salt water, which does help, and the sunlight, which does help. But when you're grounding, it really smooths out the autonomic nervous system, and people feel wonderful because of the grounding effect.
I get that totally. I live down a dirt road in the Appalachians in the middle of a national forest. I'm the only house here. And when I go outside, I feel like I'm flying. But when I come inside, I literally stay nauseous a great deal of the time. And this is it's making so much sense to me. I can't believe it. I just can't believe
it. Incredible.
I mean, I do believe it.
One of the doctors who is a real proponent of grounding, she wrote a children's book on grounding for children. And she lives in North Carolina. And I met her because we did a movie together, a documentary on grounding.
Who is she? I live 4 miles from there. Who is she?
Oh, do you? Do you know this doctor?
I don't know. What's her name?
Family practitioner?
But if I don't, I want to know her because she's got to live near me.
You should probably interview her. But basically, the way
what's
she learned about grounding was she had a baby with colic, and the baby would be, in distress. And when she walked, she would always walk barefoot. And when she walked barefoot outside and was holding the baby would calm down. So
what's her name?
She, I got to ask my wife, and she's watching the Academy Awards right now. But,
oh, okay, not to worry.
It'll come to me. She
don't
wrote
worry,
a children's
don't
book,
worry.
But I'll get you her name. I can email it to you.
Okay.
But anyway, she's wonderful. You should have her on your show. Because her story is amazing, and when I visited her house, she had cordless phones in the house, and when I pointed out to her husband, who's also a doctor, that these were toxic, and she's a medical intuitive, by the way, and as soon as I pulled out her cordless phone, she felt the feeling in her body, and she told me that she had a hard time with her medical intuition, and she didn't understand why.
I have to go. I'm a medical intuitive, and I have to go outside to do it.
Well, she had to go into a dark room to do it because she was getting away from the cordless vibrations. Her husband was very grateful for me coming in that day with my meters and checking their house over. But I'll get you her name because she'd be great to have on your show. I mean, she's a real proponent of grounding and everything. And she wrote a great children's book because she wants children to ground as well.
Yeah, I bet it would be great for ADHD. bet it would be great for PTSD for soldiers coming back from war.
Yes, yes, all of that.
Wow,
again,
this is amazing.
It balances the autonomic nervous system. You see, Eva, our nervous systems are so heightened and so on edge that even if you tell a lie, your autonomic nervous system goes out of balance. And we learned that with grounding, because grounding has an impact on what we call skin conductance, which is the same thing as a lie detector test. But whenever a person lies, they're betraying themselves, because the body knows the truth. And if you try to distort the truth or create a misrepresentation, the body suffers. And that is, I mean, and you know, most people don't understand that, but it's incredible how sensitive the body is to you know, anything from a misrepresentation to, you know, electromagnetic forces as well as RF forces.
Well, I have to ask you, you know, we've developed a society that relies upon something called the internet. You know, that's how I do my show. I sit at my computer and write my books, and I'm sure you do. How do we do it? Do we plug manually into the wall and get rid of the Wi-Fi?
Get rid of the Wi-Fi. And use an Ethernet.
Okay, so the Ethernet's not as bad as the Wi-Fi, or you can ground against it? Okay.
The Ethernet is much safer than the Wi-Fi, because the Wi-Fi is putting out pulsating impulses.
Uh-huh.
Now, I live in a condominium in Florida, and people next to me have Wi-Fi. And unfortunately, it's in an area where we have our own computer. And I put in, you know, hurricane windows that are very thick to try to blunt it. But when I work on a computer, and our computer is on Ethernet, which is safer, but I sometimes develop eye discomfort. And I know that these impulses can injure the eye. So one of the ways I protected myself is I use radiation glasses, you know, when I work on a computer, because I don't want those impulses coming in my sensitive, you know, ocular segment of the body.
So one thing
And I also ground myself when I'm on a computer as well. You know, I use a grounding pad. Martin Zucker is somebody you can really talk to, because as a professional writer, he's on a computer all day long, and he grounds himself, which is important.
I've been in this house 2 years, and I've noticed my vision has gone down radically since we put in this real fancy, elaborate Wi-Fi system, even our TV's Wi-Fi. That's what
Terrible.
It is.
You got to get rid of it. I'm telling you. This is, you know, I gave a lecture in Toronto, Ontario, and I flew up there on my own dime, because the parents were absolutely dreadful about sending their children to the school district, because four children in this school district, they were ages 9 to 13, had cardiac arrest.
And really?
Long story short, the school district had industrial Wi-Fi in their classrooms. Two of the children died. Two were resuscitated. But the Wi-Fi can get the heart out of rhythm. It disturbs what we call heart rate variability. And when you disturb heart rate variability, it can be a harbinger or prognosticator for a malignant arrhythmia that can lead to sudden death. And what people don't get is that, see, here's the problem. The problem is this. You can't see, feel, taste these waves that are coming into your body. And, you know, people develop reactions to it. They can lose weight. They can get headaches. They can get nausea. They can get dizziness, lightheadedness. Heart goes out of rhythm. Skin rashes. The list goes on and on. But nobody's asking the questions of the RF and the EMF, because these chaotic, toxic forces disrupt not only DNA, but they cause enormous oxidative stress in the body. And even simple cellular phone will do that. And, you know, I tell my kids, never use a cell phone to call me. Text me. If you want to get in touch with me, text me. And if we do use a cellular phone, I don't even hold it anymore. I just use a speakerphone and place it on my desk, chair, or on the seat of my car if I'm driving, you know. I don't even hold a cellular phone because those impulses will enter the body. And, you know, if you look at the endemic diseases in society today, well, cardiac-related atrial fibrillation is endemic. Macular degeneration is on the rise. Thyroid disease is on the rise. Tinnitus, which is ringing in the ears, that's on the rise. Breast cancer in women is getting higher and higher. And a lot of these factors are due to cellular phone with these toxic chaotic forces, which, again, disrupt DNA, and they cause enormous inflammation and oxidative stress in the body.
I'm just almost flabbergasted. I mean, I wasn't expecting to hear all of this, even though it makes perfect sense. I'm so thankful that you do what you do. So
yeah, I mean, if you get confused about it, you can always go to my website. I did a whole thing on Wi-Fi and EMF. In fact, I was using a smog meter, and I was testing cellular phones on video. So that's kind of interesting.
I'm curious, do you know Magda Havest?
Yeah, it's interesting. You got my message. I just thought about her 5 or 10 seconds ago when you said it. because I was going to mention Magda to you, you know. Yeah, Magda, Magda's a cool lady. And, you know, she did that work on disrupted heart rate variability with, a cordless phone. So, no, she's pretty erudite on this subject.
I was going to make sure that you knew her, but you already do.
Oh, yeah, we spoke at conferences together. She was the one who wanted me to come to Toronto because these kids were dying in schools and the parents were frantic. The kids were getting symptomatic at school. They would come home. They were okay. During the summer, they were fine. They went back to school. They got sick again. You know, the nurses, the doctors thought they were malingering. It was a disaster until kids died. And when kids die, that'll raise the eyebrows of everybody.
Mm-hmm.
And I just went up there, and fortunately, they got the Wi-Fi out of the schools.
Oh, that's
so amazing. And by the way, you can just Google Wi-Fi sickness. You know what the incredible thing is? You can Google... Even on the Wi-Fi website, you know, you can Google Wi-Fi and they come up with Wi-Fi sickness. Everybody knows about it, but nobody listens to it. It's amazing.
So
it's absolutely amazing.
Go ahead.
No, I said it's just amazing that, you know, nobody really tunes in that Wi-Fi can be a risk factor.
Yeah. I'm just sitting here. I'm involved with some people, and after we get off this show, I want to call you and tell you about something. But in the meantime, do you think that it depletes you? You brought up tinnitus. And I know one of the things about tinnitus is a magnesium deficiency. And here, I'm going to talk to you as a mystic, which I don't normally do because my background's in litigation and medical malpractice. So I don't normally talk about what I call woo-woo things, but I'm going to do it here if you don't mind. I believe that the more spiritual that you get, and I don't mean religious, I mean the more that you meditate and realize who you really are on the inside, and linguistics is going to be a problem here, okay? So just accept that, if you would.
Don't worry, just say it the way it is. I'll get it.
Your resonance or your field or your aura or whatever that force is that makes you be a soul comes out, speeds up. And as it speeds up, it reminds me what I see in my head is, you know, those sparklers that kids play with? Those little things on a stick and they glow and glitter and sparkle?
Right, right.
So the faster your field is, the more impulse, you know, the more minerals, it burns off magnesium, so you get severely magnesium depleted, and you start having tinnitus and other magnesium-related things. Do you think that this Wi-Fi does that too? Does that make any sense?
Yeah. See, here's what happens. Magnesium is one of these rescuers in the body. It's a very important component of my metabolic cardiology program. It's involved in 300 enzymatic reactions in the body. So magnesium is very crucial. And a lot of people, especially in our country, are magnesium deficient. I would say 80% of us are magnesium deficient.
So if you take, let's say, if you're on a cordless phone or a cellular phone all the time, those impulses are going to your inner ear. And, you know, tinnitus is one of the first symptoms of inflammation, of the energetic, I'm talking about the energetic components of that system. And when the inflammation gets to a more significant level, then deafness can occur. If the inflammation occurs even higher, well, then tumors may occur, you know. So it usually starts off with tinnitus and then loss of hearing, deafness, and then, you know, tumors could be another factor. But what you were saying before is the more clairvoyant a person is, the more intuitive a person is. And let me use, like, the near-death experience as an example. People who have had a near-death experience or people who have gone to the other side and come back, their DNA sort of gets scrambled. I'm just using that as a term. But those people are very electrosensitive. Very electrosensitive.
Yeah, that's when and, that happened to me. I get that.
That's why even this doctor who's involved with grounding, who's a medical intuitive, as soon as I turned off the cordless phone in her house and unplugged her base, she felt the body immediately. So it's kind of interesting that you mentioned magnesium, and it's also interesting that you were talking about, you know, higher levels of consciousness, or more spiritual, or more in touch, or more evolved on a spiritual level, because it just makes sense that these people do become more sensitive. The other thing I want to say about tinnitus is that tinnitus is a really a major symptom of the overall energetic tapestry of the body. And one of the major factors in tinnitus is not only EMF and magnesium deficiency, but also gluten sensitivity. And gluten sensitivity is becoming more widespread in our society. And one of the doctors that knows about this much more than I do is Dr. Bill Davis, who's a cardiologist who wrote The Wheat Belly. But gluten sensitivity is causing a lot of symptoms in the body. And when you superimpose gluten sensitivity on magnesium deficiency and RF, wireless, EMF situation, well, then you get the perfect storm, and you get more and more inflammation and oxidative stress, and you become sick.
Does glutathione or high-quality phosphatidylcholine, would that help with this inflammation?
Well, you know, glutathione and PC, you know, phosphatidylcholine or phosphatidylserine, these are great nutrients for the brain. Reduced glutathione is wonderful. The only thing is I haven't really found, although I am working with one company right now where they have sublingual glutathione, which I've used myself, and I think it does make a difference. But glutathione is it's hard to absorb in the body.
What if you get IV?
But it's very important.
What about IV? Does that work?
Say it again.
What about IV glutathione? Does that help?
IV? Oh, yeah, it definitely works. I mean, my gosh. Yeah. I mean, I used to give IV glutathione in my office to people with Parkinson's disease a decade ago. And I've seen people come in hobbling, and I see them walking out. It's an incredible situation where, you know, an hour of IV glutathione can turn a person around. The only thing is it's short-lived, where, you know, the person then snaps back. It's like peeling an onion, so to speak. But, you know, IV glutathione is great. I've seen it work wonders in people.
So what kind of diet do you suggest for people?
A non-inflammatory diet is really the way to go. A diet that can conclude, that has a lot of fiber in it. I like a lot of organic fresh fruits and vegetables. Meat is okay. I don't mind if people eat meat. I mean, I'd rather see people eat about an 80% plant-based diet. But if they, you know, want to have, you know, red meat or fish or fowl every other day, that's okay with me. The things that I don't want people to eat are the highly inflammatory foods. Now, veal would be one of those. I don't eat veal. Inflammatory foods would be the sugary foods, and trans fats are completely out. You know, as much as you can avoid trans fat. Although,
if you don't,
you know, still...
I don't mean to interrupt, but I need to here. Assume that people are so confused with language about fats. Tell them what fats they can have. What does that mean? What can they eat?
I mean, that's the basis of our book, The Great Cholesterol Myth, which, unfortunately, saturated fats have been vilified, and there's nothing wrong with saturated fat. I mean, saturated fats are found in eggs, for example. The yolk of an egg is perfectly okay. There's nothing wrong with the yolk of an egg. Preferably a range-free egg or, an organic egg or a DHA-fortified, chicken produces those eggs. Coconut is probably one of the healthier things you can eat, and it's a saturated fat. Remember, saturated fats do not oxidize easily, like the polyunsaturated fats, the omega-6 oils, like canola oil is toxic, corn oil is toxic, soybean oil. You don't want to cook with these oils. You don't want to use those oils because they oxidize very quickly and they cause inflammation. Now, the monounsaturated fats, like you find in avocado or in olive oil, they're perfectly okay because the monounsaturated fats and the saturated fats, not only are they resistant to oxidation, but they also don't elicit an insulin response. So when you eat fats like an avocado, you're not going to get an overwhelming insulin response as you would if you ate, let's say, a brownie or a sherbet or a cola, for example, a high fructose corn syrup, soda, something like that. That you will get an inflammatory response. Now, the omega-3 fats, the omega-3s, the DHA and the EPA that you find in, you can get it in, range-free meats like bison or buffalo has a little bit, walnuts have a little bit, tofu has some omega-3 essential fats, but basically fish oil and algae oil, calamarine or squid oil, those are great oils to take in the body because of the omega-3 content. Because, those are the essential fats that really prevent inflammation, and they're great for the heart. They support heart rate variability as well.
What about evening primrose oil?
Evening primrose in small amounts is okay. Black currant seed oil, evening primrose oil are fine. Borage oil is another activated omega-6. Those activated in small amounts, they're okay. They're okay. I would do them on a daily basis. I would do those activated omega-6s, either the borage, the wheat germ, the borage, the evening primrose, and the black currant. If you took those oils once or twice a week, that would be fine.
Okay. So do you want to take them, or would you rather people not?
If they want to take them, they can. I mean, if people ate oatmeal, for example, once or twice a week, you would get enough activated omega-6 just in oatmeal, in your diet. See, it's the omega-6 oils that people are using pervasively that really cause enormous inflammation. This is why vegetarian diets work. If you're a strict vegetarian and you do a no-fat diet, I don't like those diets. I don't like these high-carb diets. But the strict vegetarians, even though they tell everybody not to have oils, in a way, they're correct because if you avoid oils, you're going to avoid the omega-6s. And it's the omega-6s that cause inflammation in the body because we're getting an overabundance of omega-6 to omega-3. The ratio back in, 200 years ago used to be 1-1. Now it's like 20-1. And that's why we have, lots of inflammation in the body is because of these oils.
Okay, we have about maybe 10 minutes. I'd love for you to talk about, I have a friend, Roland McCready, who's actually going to speak this week up here where I live, talk about heart rate variability. People don't know about that, so I'd love to hear you talk about what is that?
Sure. Well, heart rate variability is really the beat-to-beat variation of the heartbeat. Let me give you an example. If I did an exercise stress test on you, and I got your heart rate up to 150, and we stopped the exercise test, and after 5 minutes, it stayed above 110, and it's beating at 110 on a regular basis, that's what I call disturbed heart rate variability. That's a sort of a poor man's way of determining whether your heart rate variability is disturbed. You want to see variation in the heartbeat. And when the heartbeat stays high after exercise and it doesn't come down, that's a problem. Now, what disturbs heart rate variability? Well, air pollution can do it. You know, trans fats can do it. Emotional stress can do it. Some of the drugs that used to disturb heart rate variability, like these short-acting calcium channel blockers, could do it. Sympathomimetics that children take and asthma inhalers can do it. So there's a lot of things that can disturb heart rate variability, including wireless, like we talked about, you know, Wi-Fi. Can disturb heart rate variability. Now, you don't want to have disturbed heart rate variability because when that happens, that means there's an imbalance of your autonomic nervous system. Because disturbed heart rate variability is sort of a messenger of how well-functioning your autonomic nervous system is. So if the autonomic nervous system is out of balance, you will see it in disturbed heart rate variability. Now, what supports heart rate variability? Well, earthing will, grounding will, sleeping grounding will. Omega-3 essential fatty acids will support heart rate variability. Mild to moderate forms of exercise will support heart rate variability. So there's lots of things that are good for heart rate variability. There's lots of things that are bad for it. What you want to do is you want to try to balance the autonomic nervous system as much as possible, and when you do that, you'll balance out the heart rate, and you will have more heart rate variability. In other words, you won't have fixed what we call RR interval. You'll have variation in the heartbeat. It's a hard concept to take in, but I hope I explained it in a simplified manner so you understand it to the point
it
where maybe you might understand somebody else talking about it.
So in other words, what you don't want is for your heart rate to stay the same, whether you're sitting down or
Yes. You want your heart rate to show a variable rate.
So what do you think about heart math, their program?
Heart math is okay. You know, heart math is okay. I mean, any technique that you can use to calm the lethal or the deadly conversations between the brain and the heart, I call it the heart-brain hotline. That's one of the reasons why I wrote the book Heartbreak and Heart Disease, years ago. Because whenever you can disrupt the lethal conversations between the brain and the heart, this is powerful. Let me give you an example. What simple heart math is that when you're under stress, severe emotional stress, and nothing is worth dying for. And the problem is people die during emotional stress because, you know, the heart gets out of rhythm. Anger is the Achilles heel for the cardiovascular system. It causes enormous, increases in total peripheral resistance. It's like driving your car with your brakes on, so to speak. But emotional stress is a major factor in cardiovascular disease. And it's one area that you have to be very, very careful. So what heart math will do is that if you can remember a memory or a situation where you were joyful, and if you're under severe emotional stress, what you need to do is close your eyes and breathe, or keep your eyes open, whichever is easier, and think about a time you were joyful in your life. I'll give you an example in my life. When I was 16 years old, on my birthday, my mother gave me a great hug when I was going to high school. I was a junior in high school. And she said, "You're 16. And she gave me this heartfelt hug that was just full of unconditional love. And when I ever get stressed out to the point where I say, oh, my gosh, you know, I need to recover a previous joyful event, I think about that. And that in itself will support heart rate variability. So everyone can find a joyful event. Maybe it's being with your grandchildren. Maybe it was your wedding day. Maybe it was the day when you were first had your first kiss. I mean, whatever it is in your life, you know, that to me is heart math, because that will break the stress that goes on between the heart and the brain. Remember, the heart is much stronger than the brain. The heart is where everything comes together in the body. The heart is the truth in the body. So when your heart aches, you got to listen to it. That's the important part.
I wish I could just sit and talk to you for hours. So many things I would love to ask you.
Well, if you want to do another show, maybe in March or so, we can maybe do something. I'll be around in March. Maybe we can do something like that.
I'll make it happen. I think my calendar's full, but I'll move somebody around.
Yeah, we can do something in March, and if you want to just, you know, focus on, we can do something on cholesterol. That's a great myth, you know, that can help a lot of people because
I want to do
so many people
book.
Taking unnecessary drugs in this country that, you know, that message needs to get out as well.
I'd love to do that. I'd like, and since we have a couple minutes, I'd like to ask you something totally off topic. G-strumthanthin. Do you know, have any comments on that?
Extraxanthin?
G-strumthanthin. I can't say that. It's hard for me to say.
Strumthanthin.
You know that West African herb? It's G and strumthanthin. Oh, shoot. I'd have to look it up.
Strumthanthin. G? It starts with a G, though? It starts
with a
G?
Okay. Well, my producer just butted in and said that we need to get off, that we got a show following us. So please tell
us. All right,
just
email it to me, Eva. That's all.
Please tell us one more time where to find you.
Excuse me? Say where. They can find me on ndinstitute.com or at grounded.com. Grounded.com has a lot of grounding stuff. Or drsinatra.com. Those are commercial websites. My informational website is heartndinstitute.com.
Thank you so much. It was such a pleasure.
All right, Eva. It was great. We'll
see
you.
Take care. Good night.